News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, we normally start hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment. Today, and it's produced by Melissa Sargent on a given day, but today we got something special. And you're going to introduce now a clip, another clip from Leon, this time about Concordia Cemetery.
Yes, I am. And it's in honor of Leon Metz. We're replacing my weekly history moment with his clip, this clip of Leon talking about one of El Paso's most visited and famous historic sites, Concordia Cemetery.
Most of us today, when we think of Concordia Cemetery, we tend to think of gunfighter John Wesley Hardin. And let's face it. Even if he is presently under a cage, Hardin draws visitors to Concordia from all over the world. I personally average 1 to 2 phone calls per week from residents or out-of-towners asking how they can find him. And I just say take the Yandell Street entrance and look for that big cage. But Hardin is only one of an incredible number of fascinating figures buried in Concordia Cemetery. So let's start at the beginning. Concordia Cemetery, which lies essentially under the Spaghetti Bowl, began with a 26-year-old Kentuckian named Hugh Stevenson. Stevenson, a strapping orphan over 6 feet tall, spent much of his early life in Concordia, Missouri. But in August 1824, he and 4 other men entered El Paso as part of a wagon train. In 1828, at the Guadalupe Church in Juarez, he married Eugenia Escarity. The happy couple then acquired a 900-acre tract of land north of the Rio Grande, initially calling it Stevensonville, although it soon evolved into Concordia, named for Concordia, Missouri, Stevenson's place of birth. On March 24, 1854, a bishop of Durango authorized Padre Ramon Ortiz to establish and bless a cemetery at Stevenson's Ranch. Thus, today's cemetery began as San Jose de Concordia del Alto, a humble beginning for what would later become the largest cemetery in El Paso. And tragically, one of the first burials there would be that of the gentle First Lady of Concordia, Juana Maria Escarity Stevenson. A deer she raised as a pet gored her, the young lady tragically dying on February 6, 1856. Thus, she was the first known individual to be buried there. The location of her grave is nowadays totally unknown. In 1865, a flood washed away Fort Bliss, and it shifted briefly to the Concordia property. When Fort Bliss moved again, Concordia remained as an attractive burial site. In those days, the flowers were everywhere, similar to the poppies often seen on government land in northeast El Paso. So today, what started as a private family cemetery, over time became a conglomerate of private and public cemeteries. 1 acre went to paupers. 2 acres were sold to the city of El Paso. 4 acres went to the Catholic Church. Roughly 1 acre went to the Mount Sinai Association, and thus arose the first Jewish cemetery in El Paso. 1 acre or so went to the Masonic Lodge, another to the Oddfellows, and another to Lee Ching Chong, representing the Chinese community. El Paso today has one of the few unique Chinese communities anywhere in the country, and almost no one locally even realizes it is there. In passing by the cemetery, one would think that only the very poor and unknown are buried there. But Concordia contains several El Paso mayors, county judges, towering religious figures, newspaper editors, at least a handful of Mexican revolutionaries, as well as a dozen or more Texas Rangers and U.S. Marshals. The world's tallest man, El Paso and Jake Ehrlich, is buried there. So is Moses Carson, a brother to Kit Carson, the two being in the Masonic section. And John Wesley Hardin isn't the only gunslinger in Concordia. Constable John Selman, who killed Hardin, is also in Concordia, although the two men now lie half a graveyard apart. A section also exists for the Buffalo Soldiers, black men who largely won the West. So the great, the ingrate, and the near great are all there. There's even a spot waiting for me, although I am not anxiously anticipating filling it. But while one might think that with so many obscure and unmarked graves in Concordia, how do you know who is who? Well, the record usually exists, and the Concordia Association is listed in the telephone directory, and it's always looking for members. Otherwise, come on out today. Take the Concordia tour, watch the shootouts, tune in to your history, and stay as long as you like. Yandell Street is the only entrance, the admission fee being modest, every dime going to cemetery upkeep. Children are welcome, too. I'll see you there, so please stop me and let's shake hands. Or if you would like, we can even exchange a few hugs.
Oh, my goodness. That's Leon, and he's there now.
I know. Leon was laid to rest last Thursday in Concordia Cemetery, and he's now amongst all the famous gunfighters and lawmen and notorious and not-so-notorious citizens he wrote or talked about in El Paso and in the region, actually, all the way in Mexico and into New Mexico. And he was, like I said, he was a pivotal force along with other people founding the Concordia Heritage Association to protect and preserve Concordia Cemetery. And again, another people we need to be talking about is preserving and protecting our history is Barbara Given Bainey.
BGB.
At Facebook. Yes, remember her Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When? She's been doing this for a long time, and she's got some great team members that are working with her on
this.
And we
thank her for that. Bernie's one of the team members. Paul Louis, Ken Weiss, and we thank her for what she does over there, and Craig Hayes. Also, at this point, we do have a guest on the phone here talking about Concordia, Patricia Kidney. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
This is such a pleasure and such an honor to talk about Leon today.
Isn't it interesting to hear him again on this radio show?
Oh, yeah.
After
I
all
mean,
these
when
years.
When you hear that discussion about Concordia and all of the folks there, and then he brought in so eloquently his Concordia Heritage and asking for volunteers, and that's exactly that type of plea is what caused me to respond in 1992.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so you've been doing that for quite a while. You're the president of the El Paso, the Concordia Heritage Association in El Paso. And we thank you for what you do. You keep a lot of things going over there.
It's always an adventure.
She's carrying the legacy.
Carrying the legacy. What are your thoughts? Take a minute and talk about Leon as a person and as a historian.
Well, as a person, I don't know if it was coming from the type of the part of the country with that accent sort of appeals to me, that West Virginian earnest way of speaking. But, you know, he was always gracious, and he always loved what he was doing. Anytime he spoke to a group, each person in that group thought he was talking to them only. He had such a storytelling, such an earnest, I can't even describe all of those things that will lead one to believe what he was saying. And then you want to help him.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, I've done a lot of thinking about this because over the years I've heard a lot of comments from, zillions of comments. But one that I sort of read about last night was that he was considered a cultural historian and the way he wrote his books. So I thought, well, what the heck is that? So I checked it out, and it appears that it's what we do. It's bringing history alive at that time and place. And I think that was his manner of writing, his manner of talking to people. I think his passion was there, and you just wanted to help. You wanted to be part of what he was talking about.
There's so many people who have said that they just ran into him, and he'd take all the time they wanted to talk about whatever they would bring up. So, all right, Patricia.
And, you know, I was impressed when he would be giving tours at Concordia. There was always some Yahoo in the crowd who would think he could one-up Leon. And, you know, there's one, honestly, every presentation I've ever done, there's usually somebody who's wanting to prove you wrong about something.
Yeah.
But Leon's a gracious manner would respond like, well, you know, partner, I don't think I've heard about that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's talk a little bit, and I'll explore it, and I'll find out about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing he used to do is sit here on the radio after he'd written a book, and he'd come out and say, you know what? It's always somebody going to call me up and say, I read your book, Mr. Metz, but did you not know? Then they'd proceed to explain something to him that he didn't know. But no, he was always gracious about it.
He didn't react defensively. He just said, well, tell me more about it.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to find out about it. And, you know, that immediately took the vinegar out of that person. And they suddenly he was on Leon's side to try to help him.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bernie could agree with me also, as because of that attitude and his approach, it brought people like Bernie and I to Leon's not from here, we're not from here, but made us love that history and want to get involved with it, right, dear?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He definitely had an impact in that regard to us, as well as many other people. I mean, you look at what's going on at Fort Bliss with all the soldiers. Leon reached out to the soldiers and shared his military history with them, and he had a tremendous respect for them, and I think for that reason, this show's carried on, you know, with you two and folks that have lived here briefly and now live somewhere else on the face of the earth are able to listen to these things, and hopefully they're listening to the show today.
I think so.
And a lot of people are looking at us on Facebook today, Patricia. You can actually hear us. We've had some trouble with our camera, but the audio's still going out, right, Andrew? So the picture may come and go, but that's just the way it goes. Patricia, thanks for joining us today.
Well,
good to talk to you.
Do I have time to tell you the great grave robbing caper?
If it's quick.
It is quick. Leon was the one who got the call letting us know they were coming
steal
Hart's body.
Oh, that's right.
That one. Oh, my, yeah.
Oh, I remember that one. That was fun.
So he rounded up all the lawmen and
that's
cowboys,
right.
And we stood them off and fought them in court, and we've still got him.
Oh, that's true. Harden is still here. And you put a concrete slab on him, right?
Didn't put a cage around it.
Oh, my God.
Cemented the deal.
Patricia Kindy and Bernie Sargent, thank you for your comments. You take care.
You're welcome.
We'll see you again.
Thanks,
you take her easy.
Yeah.
Been fun talking to her. Patricia's a great historian as well.
Yeah,
so,
she is.
And I'm sorry about the Facebook feed. The camera just crooked out.
Oh.
But I think Andrew says we can still have the audio going out there.
There we go.
Don't worry. And we have 29 people looking at it. The point is we're doing this on 690 AM as always. It's streaming live on iHeart. It's now streaming live with a television camera on Facebook in several places. And so that's kind of what we're talking about here. We'll keep doing this. We got more Vintage Leon coming up. We shall be back in just a moment.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
From UFOs to government conspiracies, the world is full of the stuff they don't want you to know.
Here's where it gets crazy.
If you found a GPS device on your vehicle, would you remove it or would you just leave it there?
No, you put it on another vehicle. That's obvious.
Each episode dives deep into the world's strangest topics, from hidden history to the bleeding edges of science and beyond. Listen to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you doing to keep your nose clean? After all, the nose is your body's air filter, the first line of defense against airborne diseases. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the powered suction nose cleaner. Navage cleans your nose by flushing out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs, including dangerous infectious germs. So with all the horrible stuff in the air, now's the perfect time to join more than a million Americans who use Navage. It has over 30,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Why? because Navage is easy to use. It's inexpensive, all natural, drug-free and safe, and most important, it works. Think about it. You wash your hands every day. Maybe it's time to clean your nose too. Breathe better, sleep deeper, feel and be healthier. Online at Navage.com and at Target, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Buonasera.
Buonasera.
How can I make the most of waiting for my next big vacation?
Translate your questions into goals by investing with Merrill Edge Self-Directed. It's more accessible than you think, with helpful planning tools plus free online stock and ETF trades. So you can keep practicing your pronunciation. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/withinreach to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Other fees may apply. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
If you weren't happy with the big media this election, you need to watch Newsmax TV, the fastest-growing TV channel in America. Find great shows with Greg Kelly, Mike Huckabee, Diamond and Silk, Michelle Malkin, and more. Plus, see analysts like Dick Morris, Sean Spicer, Alan Dershowitz, Rudy Giuliani, and Kimberly Guilfoyle. Newsmax TV is on all the major cable systems, or find it free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, and more. Download the free Newsmax app on your phone and start watching today.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And Bernie's here with us, and we also have Bernie here with us, and also we have Leon. Vintage Leon Moore coming up.
With us, yes.
Yeah, he is in that way. We've got to tell you who's coming in. Next week, we're going to talk about Father Pinto. He was a great influence on El Paso. Starting in the 1890s, he established many of the Catholic churches here. He is also buried at Concordia Cemetery. We'll hear about him from San Elizario historian Sam Sanchez Sr. And plus, another thing has happened since we booked Sam. The Sacred Heart Church, was founded by Father Pinto, is now about to be renovated with help from the diocese, as well as Max Grossman, the historian, is a co-chair on that project. We'll hear some about that. On December 5th, our topic is the two Texas State Historic Sites in El Paso County. Do you know what they are, Melissa?
Yes.
Yeah, I got you off guard there.
I was shuffling papers, okay. As I'm always doing. Especially today.
Dr. David Carmichael is going to explain the cultural history of Waco tanks.
Yay.
And the other one is we're going to have Jeff Harris and Michelle Wranglewood review the McGoffin home and the historic McGoffin family. So those are the two historic sites in El Paso County for the state of Texas. December 12, the International Boundary and Water Commission had a lot to do with most of all of our area history from way back, and we're going to hear that explained by Mark Howe, current IBWC Cultural Resource Specialist, and Gabe Duran, who was a retired IBWC employee. Those guys were on here before, explained the whole thing, and we decided that's about 5 years ago. Let's get them back in here.
Yeah.
So December 19, I want to thank Hal Marcus for graciously, he should have been on today, but since we had the Leon event occur, he agreed to move him to December 19th. Topic, an early El Paso artist. And our guest is Hal Marcus talking about the early El Paso artist. And he's got a gallery. He owns it. And he has a list of El Paso artists from here who painted our history onto their canvases. He and his wife, Patricia Medici will share their early El Paso Master Dead Artist exhibit in their gallery on Oregon Street. Can you imagine that?
See, dead painters.
Dead painters. That's you could expect Hal to do something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you would. That's how he's another one of the wonderful characters of El Paso.
Oh, you got something.
And that would be Medici.
Medici.
That's her last
Medici?
Name.
Medici?
No, Medici.
But we'll just call her Patricia.
Patricia, that'll work.
Patricia M.
She'll show up. I got another clip ready. You got something you want to do?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to talk about McGoffin. We're still not sure, McGoffin Home, where they're at right now. But give them a call at 533-5147, especially if you got people coming in from out of town. Oh, did I say that? So give them a call or connect with them at their visitmcgoffinhome.com Facebook page.
All right. Andrew got a clip here from Flo. Flo Tell came in and recorded with us. And we're going to talk about Leon Metz on the radio and his early. How did he get on the radio? He was the founder of this radio show that we're on right now. It first aired as the Leon Metz Show back in the mid-90s. So then we moved it into the El Paso History Radio Show in about, was that, 2011?
Yeah.
And here is a woman who helped Leon get into radio.
When we talk about Leon Metz's early career in radio, we think of also someone who was there, Flo Toll. Flo, good morning.
Good morning, Jackson. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. Thank you for coming in to comment on Leon. What do you think about Leon as an historian, and what do you think about him as a radio guy?
You know, I think the world is a much sadder place today. Leon was, number one, and anybody I think who ever met him knew that he was just a really great guy. He was good for the radio, but what he really excelled at was history and verifying his facts and making sure that he had the story right and that he was accurate. So much of history depends on what people recall, and he was really careful about verifying it and confirming.
You were his co-host in the early days. How'd that go?
I was his co-host. That got started in an interesting way. Richard Pearson, who was the general manager of all three of the KTSM stations at the time, decided he wanted to do a radio show in the afternoon. And so I think that was from 3 to 4. I'm not positive. I've slept since then. But we started, and he kind of had a different focus for every day. And that went along for a while, and Leon was one of the days. History was one of the days. So that was really Richard that got that started.
Do you remember roughly what year that was?
I want to say 93.
Okay.
And then somewhere along the way, Richard was a busy guy. Karen Pearson and I did that together a few times. And it just kind of morphed into just being Leon on one afternoon a week. But Leon wasn't a broadcaster, and I was willing, so I got to. And I will always be grateful for that experience because he was so good. He taught me a lot about history, even though towards the end, and I think we wrapped up in 97, you know, you could already tell that there was maybe some memory loss there, but I'd go in with a topic. I'd usually look at a topic for the day and kind of get him started talking about it. And once he got started talking about it, he was clear as a bell. He remembered everything, and we just had a great time, and people loved him. He was a great guy.
His book, Chronicles, came out in 93, I think it was.
Okay.
Or ended in 93 anyway. And that kind of was what I used to do with him on the radio. He'd bring a book in, and I'd say, Leon, pick a story. He'd open up to any page and just start talking.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to watch him and listen to him and be across the table from him. And it was such a learning experience for me because I didn't know El Paso history. I'm a typical went to school here, didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
You're probably the same. And listening to him and tell stories was just fabulous. So today on the radio show, we've got a bunch of his stories, as you may have heard a couple of them. We got more to come. But the idea about Leon Metz being on the radio, we went through, I think it was November of 2011 with him.
Yeah.
And it was a fabulous experience for me to learn the history sitting across from him. And I guess it was the same for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I had, like you just said, I had no idea. And, you know, I think maybe you have to be mature enough to understand history. Teaching it in school is a great thing, don't get me wrong. But to really grasp it, you probably need to be more of an adult. And it was the first time I really paid attention. And being a native El Pasoan, he's still this nice man from West Virginia, taught me a whole lot about our city and the Southwest and the people in it.
Well, another matter there is that when you have a teacher who just kind of gives you facts and then you have a test on it, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But Leon was a storyteller.
Exactly.
And that was the beauty of Leon. He could do any kind of story all across the board and made sense out of it. So that was how I looked at Leon, was a good mentor for history, but also a good guy just to know and to work with. And I guess that's maybe where you are.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jackson.
Radio's been fun. I got to tell you, Bill Toll and Flo Toll both helped us get this going here back in the day. It was Charlie Russell who called me up and said, hey, can you come in and help Leon? He's telling stories, but he's telling so many stories, he won't go to commercial.
Yeah.
And Charlie hired me in 1969 to do radio back then. So I came back home, and Charlie said, hey, can you come back and do this? I said, I can do this. And so that's how I got into this.
Yeah, and also Melissa Kerr, who was, of course, on KTSM, she remarked to me about Leon. She always remembers she would work with him to do some of those little quick weekend promos, and how he, and it brought it right back to me, is he'd lean back in a chair, put his hands behind his head, and then he'd tell his story or his tidbit or whatever. And, you know, I was just, I picture him that way all the time. And
he's truly missed.
Caught me up with that one. So.
And we have some more comments on Facebook. Can you pick a couple out of there?
Let's see. Great tributes. We've got, Michael Smith. Jeez. You was talking about Charlie Russell. Let's see. We've got, all kinds of stuff.
We're streaming this show today with one camera live on Facebook. And, of course, the audio goes with it. Again, thanks to Andrew J. Polk in there, who's engineering this whole mess. Because I just look at it and say, how do you do that? I don't know. But he's got it put out there for us. Normally on 690 AM and streaming on iHeartMedia, which we're doing audio only.
Yeah.
But this is video television going out there on our Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show. So take a look at us if you can stand it.
And it's starting great conversations between people. It's not only they're commenting on the show, but they're commenting with each other. You got Linda Osborne's talking about it. Gloria Pena's going back and forth with Ray and Rod Linkus. It's funny.
And Ramon DeBacco has checked in. He just heard his commercial. He's thrilled.
Hey.
Good for him. He's our Monterey asset manager. All right, we need to take a break, come back, and do a little more of this. We've got to come back later and tell you about El Paso Inc., right?
That's right.
Fair enough. And how do they find us today on the history page?
Well, they can go to the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page, and you can click there. And it'll pop right up when you're on our page to see the live show link. And also you can go to KTSMradio.com, and you can see us on the live radio Facebook page there, too.
There we are. Back in a moment.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Boom or bust, bull or bear, high or dry. Tough times aren't anything new, but we've gotten through them before, and we'll do it again. COVID put us all in a bad spot, but we've got to get back to work. The whole state depends on us. We have a job to do, and getting tested means getting back to work faster. Get started at togethernm.org/jobtodo.
What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, with today's low rates, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. With a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, you could consolidate and pay off high-interest debt, tackle home improvements that could add value to your home, or even set aside cash for your child's future education. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this. What can give you the technology to refinance easily and save money? Rocket can. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings are based on quick loans, internal data. Points and fees may apply. Offer cost information and conditions. Equal housing letter. License in all 50 states. NMLS Consumer Access.org. Number 3030.
Research Raccoon can answer any question about your business for less than you'd think. From a new product to a small tweak on a proven winner, Research Raccoon gives you U.S.-based data you can put to use that day. Plus, it's affordable enough for small businesses. So stop wondering if your business is on the right track and know for sure with data to back it by using Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. Research Raccoon. Any question, anytime.
At home with Robert, retired burglar and family man.
Carolers! That's the holiday spirit. Speaking of which, Simply Safe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. Right now, you can get 40% off a new system and a SimplySafe.com/holiday. That's 40% off the system U.S. News named the best of 2020. SimplySafe protects your whole home 24/7 with monitoring by professionals. The sale ends soon, so go to SimplySafe.com/holiday for 40% off and a free camera today.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from UNTUCKit. Now you can get 30% off everything with the Black Friday sale happening at UNTUCKit's 80-plus stores and UNTUCKit.com. UNTUCKit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels and easy wrinkle-free shirts. So don't miss 30% off everything for a limited time only. Find the perfect gift at your nearest UNTUCKit store or at UNTUCKit.com. UNTUCKit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're going to do something we normally do here. We're going to talk about This Week Only in El Paso, Inc.
Okay. Three ultra-cold freezers have made their way to El Paso as medical professionals prepare to receive the coronavirus vaccine.
A pet entertainment space, that combines food, beer, and dogs is coming to El Paso.
A beloved church in Segundo Barrio is gearing up for a long-overdue renovation.
El Paso's Business Journal, El Paso, Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso, Inc. and order it online, go to elpasoinc.com.
Tomorrow night on ABC 7 Extra, help is on the way. The El Paso Department of Health announced the city is making preparations to begin vaccinating against COVID-19 once the vaccine arrives. But who will get the first vaccinations, and is everyone willing to get it? ABC 7 Sunday Night Edition host Saul Sines asked the spokesman for the Texas Department of State Health, as well as the director of the El Paso Health Department, when we can expect that vaccine.
We'll also learn the cost and when everyone can expect to be vaccinated against this invisible killer that has already claimed more than 800 lives. Watch ABC 7 Extra Sunday nights with host Saul Sines after ABC 7 at 10.
Oh, a lot going on there. Oh, Bernie, you got any comments for the moment? Because we're going to go another Leon clip. You got a moment here?
I'm reading some of the comments on here, online, the live comments
on Facebook.
They're great. I mean, his influence just crossed borders. It's like Keith Wilden said, he never met a stranger, just an old friend he hasn't seen in a while.
Fair enough. All right, Melissa, you got another clip of Leon. What is it?
Yes, we've got the one that's on White Sands. He was just always amazed with the beauty and uniqueness of White Sands, and also why more people didn't go there.
Here's Leon.
Have you ever wondered where the world's largest gypsum deposits are? Probably not. But the answer is in White Sands, New Mexico. I drove past those sands the other day, and the area hasn't changed any since the last time I was there. The dunes are still impressive, as expansive, and as mysterious as ever. The region is today a national park, but in spite of only an hour or so drive from El Paso, few folks I talk to seem to go that way anymore. The white sands sprawl across the Tularosa Valley between San Andreas and the Sacramento Mountains, immense dunes of sand that seem to rise and fall that border and often intrude onto or into the nearby White Sands Missile Range. Otherwise, the sands heave and beacon, fascinate and repel. Sometimes they make your mouth dry just looking at them, even though groundwater usually lies just a few feet below. Not that anyone would want to drink it. Several mysterious murders have occurred in and near the sands, among them the still unsolved slaying of Colonel Albert Jennings Fountain and his 8-year-old son Henry. Any rate, Albert Fountain was a New Yorker who had come west with General Carleton's California column in 1862. Although most folks usually refer to him as Colonel, his Civil War and Indian fighting service had been brief. So for a while he practiced law in El Paso, then moved to Mesilla, where he defended Billy the Kid, who was charged with murder. Fountain did his best, but the judge and jury still thought Billy should hang. And Billy would have done so, except that he broke jail. His breakout seemed pretty dramatic at the time, but ultimately it didn't help him much because Lincoln County, New Mexico Sheriff Pat Garrett soon tracked him down and shot him dead. During the following quarter century, much of the ranching country around Las Cruces, the range and dunes, were taken over by large and small ranchers, both groups quickly learning to hate one another. The large ranchers raised cattle, the small ones sheep, so tempers and animosities flared. As for Colonel Fountain, he and his son Henry were returning home to Mesilla following a court battle in Lincoln, when right at the edge of the dunes, 40 miles east of Las Cruces, within rifle shot of what is now Highway 70 entrance to White Sands Missile Range, Fountain and his son Henry disappeared from the face of the earth. Their horses and buggy were later found, but no bodies. And to this day, whatever happened to the Fountains remains one of southern New Mexico's greatest murder mysteries. But there have been other enigmas regarding this stretch of country. For instance, George Nesmith, a Scotsman who owned what would later become Blazer's Mill near Ruidoso, had been summoned to Mesilla to testify in a court case. He took his wife and child with him, but all three mysteriously disappeared as they crossed the White Sands. Their bodies were never found. Finally, the famous Sheriff Pat Garrett, the tall slayer of Billy the Kid, a man who once lived and worked in El Paso, was perhaps the last to die near the White Sands. His murder occurred on February 28, 1908, a leap year fatality. His slayer, however, was captured. So today the sands are quiet, the national monument of beauty and wonder, an attraction for tourists all over the world. But like any beauty and wonder, the sands hold their secrets, and many of those secrets will always remain dark and mysterious.
Dark and mysterious secrets, yes. And Leon would love to know who those people were. And it was fun to always listen to him and telling his stories. Yeah. And like I mentioned in the clip there with Flo, he would bring his book in here, the Chronicles book, and it was all well-worn and beat up, and he'd just open up a page and I'd say, what are we going to talk about today, Leon? Well, let me see. And so he would just set off on it. Yeah. Sometimes he'd have it, you know, dog-eared and ready to go.
Well, the history moments were based a lot on his just going through his book, his little mentions of different things, and I do more research on it. So I thank him for that.
Well, and, you know, I talked to the station management, and I also talked to Leon. I said, what would you think about doing something called a history moment? I've got just the person who needs to come in and do that. And you agreed to it.
Well, I suggested it, but you said, well, you need to do it. And I'm like,
well, I mean, the idea was I cooked it up with the marketing people here. And I did it kind of to get you on the radio, to be honest with you. I thought it would be a good avenue for you to get on. And then you agreed to it, like, okay, what do I got to do? And so we
learned to teach myself how to record.
Well, and also how to write these things. This is not simple to write these things.
Yeah, so my English teachers are flipping in their grave right now. She's writing,
that
producing.
Stuff does happen. All right, we're going to do one more clip now before the break. And this one's a little bit different, but it's vintage Leon. And it's good old Leon singing a verse here about the, he explains the woman who was the Yellow Rose of Texas. Number 12.
She's the yellow rose of Texas. I'm going there to see. Nobody only knows her. Nobody only me. She cried so when I left her. It nearly broke my heart. And if we ever meet again, we never more shall part. She's the sweetest rose of color this fellow ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You can talk about your dearest friends or sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee. Any rate, folks, we've all heard that song, and we've heard of the yellow rose of Texas, and tunes like that occasionally still jingle in our memory, more so perhaps when people like me have been sitting in a chair and staring out the window for over an hour, idly watching cars pass in the street, and I find myself humming a few lines now and then from a popular folk song, written apparently before I was born. Folks called it the Yellow Rose of Texas. I don't remember when I first heard that tune, no doubt on the radio when I was a kid back in West Virginia, but off and on I've sung it over to myself ever since I was a toddler, hardly old enough to strap on my first Gene Autry six-shooter. I've learned since, more from casual reading than any other thing, that there really was a Yellow Rose of Texas. She was a mulatto slave girl, referred to in real life only as Emily, an unindentured servant who belonged to Texas Colonel James Morgan, where she was born, where she came from, how old she was, although no doubt in her late teens or early 20s, and how she wound up in Morgan's household, we don't know. We also don't know what eventually happened to her. We do know that at the Battle of what's now New Washington, Texas, during the Texas Revolt, Mexican forces liberated Emily. But her capture didn't do more than transfer her from one tent to another, the latter occupied by Mexican General Santa Anna. Not too long afterward, at the Battle of San Jacinto near Houston, the Texas force swept in for the decisive strike of Texas independence. Emily allegedly kept Santa Anna tarrying too long in the tent. By the time he got dressed, the battle was over, the Mexican army had been defeated, Santa Anna was a prisoner, and Emily was a folk hero. In short, she became the Yellow Rose of Texas, and arguably the founder of Texas independence. At least that's the story. A handwritten of what we know regarding the Yellow Rose of Texas appeared a few years later after the battle. In spite of numerous misspellings as a poem, the words were roughly similar to those found in today's song. Then, as a piece of music, the Yellow Rose of Texas first appeared in 1858, published in the New York newspapers. During the Civil War, the Confederacy sang the Yellow Rose of Texas as a popular marching song. Some of the words have evolved, of course. The politicians incorrectly phrase, "She's the sweetest rose of color this darky ever knew," became, "She's the sweetest rose of color this soldier ever knew." Today, the verse is usually sung, "She's the sweetest rose of color this fellow ever knew." And, of course, because of dialect, country boys like me, with a great deal of twang in their voices, sang it as the Yaller Rose of Texas. Nowadays, as nationally popular songs go, old-timey Rose of Texas, plus other long-forgotten tunes such as The Arkansas Traveler and Turkey in the Straw, have all gradually faded into yesterday's consciousness. Today's discussion is about over. Now there's only next week to worry about. Maybe I'll stare out the window again and idly sing a few phrases from something else and then start putting it all together.
Oh, my goodness. It's just incredible. Cindy Hibbing, amazing. You have people looking at it on Facebook right now?
Real quick, I want Rick Clark jumped on, Beatty Burdett, Ray Sanchez, and I have to make a real quick comment on Mr. Parras in Dallas. He's just grabbed his Turning Points book and is from Leon, and he's going to start reading it again. So that's what we want to do. We want to stimulate that conversation.
We have 39 people looking at us live on Facebook. We're streaming with one camera today. Thank you, Andrew J. Polk, for being Mr. Engineer in there. And we've got this going out on Facebook. Looks like we may need to do this again from time to time, if not all the time. But in the meantime, we're on 690, of course, as always, in iHeartRadio, streaming live across the country. But today, live across the country and across the planet, right here in that little tiny camera right over there.
There we go.
Going out on Facebook. So, yeah, good to see you too. And we'll be back in just a moment with a little bit more.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Find new special buys of the day every day on the Home Depot app or HomeDepot.com. Today, get great prices on stylish flooring options to help make updating your entire home affordable. Plus, free delivery to keep spirits up and stress down. The Home Depot, improving holiday shopping.
From UFOs to government conspiracies, the world is full of the stuff they don't want you to know.
Here's where it gets crazy.
If you found a GPS device on your vehicle, would you remove it or would you just leave it there?
No, you put it on another vehicle. That's obvious.
Each episode dives deep into the world's strangest topics, from hidden history to the bleeding edges of science and beyond. Listen to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What if you could build a six-figure retirement income in just 5 payments?
You heard that right. In just 5 payments, you could set up a 6-figure retirement cash flow for as long as you live. I'm best-selling author Brett Kitchen with Wealth Beyond Wall Street. And right now, there's a retirement crisis in America because the pension system of old has been raided and destroyed, and Social Security is already running out of money. But most Americans are shocked to find out they would need to save over $2.5 million to have a $100,000 income in retirement. A new approach is required to solve this crisis. That's why this revolutionary new 5-payment retirement program was released, allowing everyday Americans to use bank money to create a retirement cash flow without relying on Social Security or pensions. Even people who are on track have shifted money to this new strategy because it accelerates the amount they will have at retirement or can allow them to stop working years sooner. So if you're over 50 years old and want to build a bigger, better retirement in just 5 payments, call 800-207-4545 now to see if you qualify. Plus, as a free bonus, you'll get the 6-figure retirement acceleration guide and video. Call 800-207-4545. That's 1-800-207-4545. 1-800-207-4545.
Talk El Paso is going daily. Join host Andrew J. Polk weekdays at 4 with the Borderlands' only live local talk radio show, breaking down the impact of the news and taking your calls. That's Talk El Paso live Monday through Friday at 4 right here on News Radio 690 KTSM.
Sponsorship and advertising opportunities are also available. To find out on how you can affordably reach an affluent and highly educated demographic, please call iHeartMedia at 915-351-5473. That's 915-351-5473.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are almost done with the tribute to Leanne. We got one more clip here, and then Bernie's got a comment at the end of that. But then we're going to do something interesting toward the close. But in the meantime, what is that clip we have here? We've got
Oregon Mountains.
What is that?
Well, what it basically, Leon loved hiking the mountains, but he never really got a chance to hike the ones in the Mexico. Or I don't believe he did go up into the Oregon Mountains. But it was just it's another fascinating history moment I think we need to hear.
Here's Leon.
At one time or another, I've climbed all over the Franklin Mountains, and yet there are two distinct chains of mountains I've never touched. One is the Juarez Mountains, directly south across the Rio Grande. To my mind, and a lot of authorities snicker when I say this, they are the end of the Sierra Madres in Mexico, whereas the Franklins are the beginning of the Rocky Mountains in the United States. I guess it's a matter of perspective. But the mountains I'm focusing on today are the Oregons, near Las Cruces and Mesilla, New Mexico. In many respects, these being the highest, most complicated, and awesome range of mountains in this vicinity. So while all our mountains are remarkable landmarks, the Oregons in particular have fascinated me the most. Although I've never attempted to climb the Oregon Mountains, anyway, these giants date back to around 200 million years ago, back to a period when the land was low and seas covered the region. The water and the shifting, changing earth creating sedimentary rocks such as limestone, the deposits sometimes reaching thousands of feet thick. A large part of these mountains, bounded by irregular cross-cutting fault plains, is believed to have originally crystallized at a considerable depth beneath the earth's surface. In this case, I wish I had a clearer definition of considerable depth. Then about 60 million years ago, the geological forces commenced reacting. The land we call the Southwest arose under tremendous pressure, forcing massive blocks up and over other massive blocks of rock, thus forming our first original mountain ranges, the land between changing into basins as well as deep valleys. The old valleys and mountains subsequently disappeared or became part of the new. And even the new eventually became the old as the land flattened, setting the stage for upheavals to commence again. So what we see now are what one might call the new or recent Organ Mountains, although they date back roughly 32 million years, plus or minus a few millennium. Way back then, a molten body of rock lying at great depth tended to heave up against the top layers, often ejecting great quantities of additional rock, lava, and ash, perhaps covering an area of 100 square miles, extending downward thousands of feet. And this evidence can still be viewed today, the dark red rock still creating and forming the uplifted southern portion of the range. The Organ Pinnacles we see today are the remnants of this magma, all of which took a few centuries to cool. The sedimentary material weathered from rocks eventually washed into Old Mexico, southern New Mexico, Texas, and even the Gulf of Mexico. We mow our lawns today on some of this material. About 12 million years ago, after the hot rock had cooled, the meandering, faulting Rio Grande uplifted the eastern portion of the Oregon Mountain chain, tilting that region down toward the west. The subsequent ice ages contributed to further rainfall, as did additional weathering. And so across ages, God and nature created that familiar jagged skyline. Otherwise, much of what we call fault block still remains buried under sand, out of sight. Nor is the faulting ended. The region east of the Organs is so recent that the ages-old uplifted gravel banks are still intact. Therefore, according to geologists, the faulting along the Rio Grande is apparently still alive. I've read and heard it said that occasionally, quote, small earthquakes, end of quote, rather quietly rock Las Cruces today. So when we pause to gaze at our regional mountains, as I often do, one of the interesting as well as one of the odd characteristics is that they are all so different and all so similar. Each of our mountain ranges has its own history, a history occasionally making me wonder if the mountain building period is finally over or if the gods are merely taking a much-needed break.
Many thanks to everybody commenting on Facebook. We do appreciate it. You guys are going to go eat at Pepe's?
Yes, we are.
I'll be out there getting takeout. And in the meantime, we got one last tribute to Leon, and it's somebody we know from Leon's history. It's a man by the name of Charlie Russell. Charlie. Here's Charlie Russell.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. No matter what the clouds, and we're together, we'll sing a song and bring sunny weather. Happy trails.
One last thought from Bernie Sargent as we leave.
We send our wishes and prayers to Cheryl, his wife of 50 years, his three sons, six grandchildren, and five great-grandchildren. Adios to a true gentleman and a true friend. We will never forget you.
Adios, Leon.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.